Four, three, two, one,
sink.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to episode 199 of the TTV Podcast.
Mardi Gras!
Hi.
This is a big deal, guys. We're on our way. You gotta be happy.
It's like a saddest Mardi Gras.
I can't believe we've made it to the penultimate episode of TTV's 200, or, well, I guess 100s episodes, and...
What does penultimate mean?
Only, like, three of us are here. I don't know, freaking Google it or something. Do you not live in 2016? What is your problem?
Let me simplify it. It's like the one before the big deal, like, the episode before the season finale of a show, or...
Also, like, second to last?
Yes, that's
kind of.
Yes. Okay.
The semifinals.
It's the lead.
It is the pin to your ultimate.
Why does my ultimate need a pen?
Because sometimes you need a signature to write to write legal documents.
You and your Overwatch.
Good God, you're coming up with reasons. Okay.
So. Good God, you're dragging it out.
No copyright music.
Yeah, guys, come on. We got a show to put on here.
Yeah,
Joe's if you're out of direction.
Don't do this.
Yeah, we're the four-man crew. We're Banda McBanda.
Banda McBanda, everybody. We're going to perform for you guys live with our, what is that? Is that Skillet? Is that Skillet, that band that did that song?
I don't think so.
But I can't
I forgot what
sing.
Band did.
Good God, Purple.
All right.
Well, all right, yeah, who are we?
When you're out of direction.
Hi, everybody. I'm Messina.
Hey, everybody. I'm Vertorate. Oh, it's Seether. That's who it is.
Hey, everybody. Yeah, you're right. Hey, everybody. I'm Venom.
Hey, I'm Purple Dragon.
And once again, 199 TTV Podcast. Let's do this thing.
This is 199. What the heck, man?
I know,
it's
right?
So hard to believe, and no one's here.
Yeah, what's going on here? Less than half.
I don't know, dude. I don't freaking know. I wake up and I'm like, all right, time to enjoy a great new fun, exciting episode. I get on and it's the most depressing sight ever. No one's online. It's just Meso and Vin in a call. And I'm like, what is this?
Purple's sick with a headache and you were really nice. You actually volunteered to help.
Yeah,
you were the only one with a legitimate reason to not be here, and you are here.
Yeah, that's crazy.
Woo. Yeah,
forget,
to be honest,
I get up and
I
see a message from Purple. She's like, "I'm dying." Oh, and then it's like, oh great,
I'm dying. Now you want to be on the podcast? Yeah, sure. She's a trooper.
If you need people,
hey,
I'm here.
Maybe you can join a viper in the ranks of puking while during like in the middle of an episode.
That is actually what I was thinking. I was like, oh man, I probably shouldn't be on the podcast so I don't pull a viper and like puke in the middle of an episode. But
did she actually do that?
Yes,
yeah, she did. She had to mute her mic because she started puking.
Oh, oh shoot! I mean, I remember.
I won't tell anybody what episode that was.
I want to know.
Save you from being Christelle.
Do you remember
I
what number?
Know.
Oh my god!
Can you show?
Like, it was a bad night. Like. One time we're all on it, not a recording. I forget what we were doing. I think we were playing some game, and then all of a sudden I started feeling a little queasy, and so I muted my mic for a second, and then I unmuted and I was like, okay, I think I'm cool. And
wow.
Like a minute later, it came up again. And I'm like, this one doesn't want to go back down. So I muted the mic, ran over to like a paper bag. Which isn't a good idea because that will like
that is not a good idea
go through. But don't worry, the paper bag ended up going in the plastic bag. So anyway, ran over to that paper bag, did my thing, came back, was like, yeah, I think I drank too much milk.
Wow! So I've never had it
when you drink milk.
Like this on the podcast or
not on the podcast. I've never had that. I don't think I have. I don't know. I probably have, honestly, because we've been doing this for years now. So there's got to be at some point where I've been sick during the podcast.
That is true. A lot of crazy stuff's happened. We'll probably save our retrospectives for next episode, but I can't believe that it is at this point. This feels like just yesterday we were doing episode 100 talking about
LJ, dude. That guy, what is wrong with him? He's completely useless.
Well, what are we going to segue?
Oh, what?
What was that?
Where did LJ
I just wanted to mention how LJ has a cell phone to be contacted with, but it's completely useless because it doesn't work. You can't call him. because it, apparently his phone's off. I don't know. A phone doesn't receive phone calls.
Yeah,
okay,
I called
fine.
Him, and he was like, cannot receive phone calls. And I was like, well, darn, I need him on this episode. Maybe I'll try sending him a Hail Mary text. I got an automated reply back. This phone cannot receive messages.
what can this phone do?
Yeah, what exactly can the phone do?
It's not a smartphone. That's, it can't, like, basically. Play games and do stuff. It's like an old phone
That's,
like mine.
Basically, it's it's a paperweight. That's what it is.
You can chuck it at people when they're being annoying.
I certainly hope he's not paying like a monthly phone bill or something, because he is wasting his money.
I think he is.
Mm-hmm. Oh, but my gosh. Yeah, you need something else.
Either way, you want to do our first plug of the day and then like pace it out?
You rhymed.
Sure, but basically what we're getting at is that there are open positions here at TTV.
No, there's not. Pretty Don't much. Spread this information.
Cast and call. Let's do it.
Yeah. Cast and call, everybody. We got some positions to fill.
Not really.
No, we'll go ahead and do a quick plug real quick. I'm not going to go on for too long, but for right now,
and before he does,
guys, get a shirt. Go to shirt.ttvchannel.com and pick up one of our shirts. I mean, yeah, sorry, store.ttvchannel.com and pick up a shirt. They're $20 each. We've got two designs up right now. One is the Knack and Jay t-shirt, which I made. It features LJ and Meso in a very Calvin and Hobbes-esque picture, doing Minog with Meso things. Nice callback to that show. Everybody used to really like that. So
what's the other one?
TTV related. And the other one is, when you do that, it only prolongs the advertisement then.
You're right.
See, right now,
get on with it!
I just stopped for 20 extra seconds because
the other one is a Civil War themed shirt featuring LJ and Kahi and stuff that I drew. Purple.
Done.
Yeah.
It's a lovely Puppet Master shirt. Features X also. So if you like her Purple's X design, that's on there. If you hate Purple or Purple's X design, don't get that shirt. Get mine instead.
No, get mine out of spite.
It all goes to a good cause. Help TTV get to Brick Fair and or whatever, as if we needed it.
Yeah, I need it.
You don't need nothing.
Give us your money. That's what it all comes down to. Now,
200 episodes and the moral of the story. Give us your money. That's how it is.
Advertisement's over. Let's get back to the show, everybody.
All right.
Everybody hates advertisements.
So, last week I missed a podcast.
Yeah, that was beautiful.
Nothing that happened. I listened to the podcast you guys did. Good job. It was a good show.
We did really well without you. Like, really well. Like,
I have to imagine that everybody was, like, because everyone was there for that one, so it's like, I think they all got wind that you were going to be on for this episode, and they're like, no!
Yes. I'm sad. I was looking forward to my grand debut return, but I guess I'll have to settle for you guys. I don't know where everybody else went. It was really interesting.
Off doing stuff.
Wow, you're going to settle with us?
200 episodes, and I've missed like four of them, and it was really interesting.
That's crazy.
Like, I have a lot of stuff to say, but like, I'm not sure I want to say it just yet, because I'll probably launch into a mega rant.
Oh boy.
No, don't worry, it's good stuff, but
I guess remember the days where I used to miss a podcast basically every day, like all the time?
I remember back before Bionicle came back, it was difficult to get people enthused about stuff, because there was no real reason to show up. So, like, it was just kind of like, hey, just, if you want to be here to joke around, we will. But there's no pressing news to discuss. There's, like, a lot of stuff. And last week, oh boy, you guys talked about some heavy hitters.
Yeah, we talked about a lot of stuff.
Oh, yeah.
This week, for those looking for more Bionicle news or for more updates on stuff, to the best of my knowledge, there's not really much going around. We're in a bit of a lull.
Should we do like a bit of like a recap of what we talked about last week, just to kind of fill people in case they missed last episode?
Do it.
Do it?
I don't really remember what we talked about.
I'll do it. So
talked about Bionicle.
They talked about primarily the current situation going on with Bionicle. For those maybe who missed last episode, Somersets came out. They premiered on June 1st, which is their embargo date or whatever, and they launched on LegoShopAtHome.com, and they've been in Toys R Us stores for the last couple of weeks. Problem being, people are trying to buy them at the Lego store and being turned away, saying that they do not stock them at least United States Lego stores. And they've been handing them like free shipping coupons with the implication
that is something
we don't have them in store, buy them online.
Yeah, that's an important fact or detail I accidentally missed or skipped over last week when we were going over the availability of the Somersets. Well, it wasn't misinformation, it was just not full information. That was just a detail we missed. It's like some people have actually tried buying the sets at their stores, and they have been turned away and told to look online, which is very interesting.
Why?
I don't know.
It's at first, really I thought confusing. It was just an isolated incident, but then we've heard more and more and more reports. Only in U.S. LEGO stores. There's some people in the U.K. who are saying they've been buying sets fine at their local LEGO store, so. Not a worldwide thing, but the implication I'm getting is that for whatever reason, LEGO stores are not stocking Bionicle sets currently. At least the Summer Wave. They're not getting them in. Additionally, it must be said, to the best of my knowledge, Target, Walmart, and other retailers are not currently stocking the 2016 Summer sets either. This may not be a problem.
I have
problem.
Heard a few people mention that they've talked with Toys R Us representatives or like customer support, and apparently rumor has it that there's some kind of deal between LEGO and Toys R Us right now, and they are actually putting up the summer sets in stores for Toys R Us exclusively in the U.S.
I've been seeing that too. I'm not sure if
I don't know how valid that is. Yeah, I don't know if people are just kind of making that up or not.
Isn't that the
I doubt they're making it up.
Or something, or make a lot more clear somewhere, like maybe in some ad.
You think they would? Yeah.
Well, I mean, put it past the realm of possibility because Toys R Us has always had a deal with LEGO, or they must have something because they always seem to get the sets ahead of major retailers. The only times they have not are the last two waves of Bionicle, where like there was the Target DCPI craze and then the Barnes and Noble's hunt. But every construction wave before for the last
those are flukes.
10 years or whatever have typically come out first at Toys R Us stores. So they have some kind of agreement, but never exclusively selling sets. I think that's a bit of a mistranslation somewhere.
It does kind of make sense, because we did get that like brief period where the sets were available on ToysRUs.com, and it was saying that Storm Beast or whatever was exclusive to Toys R Us.
Yeah.
I remember that was a thing we saw.
I do remember.
But like even then, I'm still not sure if that was just a mistake and people are using that to like sort of fabricate this lie or not. It's hard to trust sometimes.
Were they ever put back up on the Toys R Us website?
Good question.
Because I tried looking like a week ago. I didn't want to buy from Shop at Home. I hate buying from Shop at Home because they're so slow.
So bad, dude.
But I tried to find them on Toys R Us and I couldn't find them.
Speaking of which, I ordered my sets last week and I'll probably be getting them today
from Shop at Home.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Nice. I'm sorry.
Took like
but
a freaking
yeah,
week.
I'm sorry.
Yeah.
I think you will enjoy them. I got in between the episodes, I got my sets too, and you know, we've already talked about them to death, but I like them quite a lot.
Yeah, as of right now, those sets have not been put back up on ToysRUs.com.
Unbelievable.
That's weird.
That's crazy.
This is really weird. This is a first. This has happened, but I'm not gonna sound any Armageddon bells yet over this particular thing because like it is only June. You know, they may come out in like August or July or whatever, but it is interesting to note. The main thing.
I have to wonder if like LEGO is intentionally making Bionicle out to look like it's failing, just so people will keep throwing money at it, hoping to bring it to save it. But in reality, it's like a complete success.
That would be great.
That's
an evil plan, and I love it.
It would be absolutely fantastic. And then additionally, some other stuff that's going on is obviously people are still kind of, they're unsure about stuff because people are still reeling from like the cancellation of Graphic Novel 3 and like what do you do about books or graphic novels or whatever. We know there's a magazine coming out only in Germany that has some cool poly bags and that's nice for Germany but like not really, that doesn't really do anything for the US fans who are like desperate to get stuff.
Gives us stuff to talk about.
That's true. And I do really like that Akimu Falcon. It's a really awesome little design.
It's really cool.
I'm hoping that
really
makes it
better.
Eventually.
I wish I could just get that. I don't like the idea of having to go to BrickLink and buying the pieces to make it myself.
Agreed.
I wish I could just get it in the magazine. Speaking of BrickLink, by the way, completely unrelated, but BrickLink just got a new update.
Oh, thank goodness.
Yeah, it looks gorgeous now.
Right into the modern age.
I remember the old design back, like I think a year ago. It was terrible.
Yeah, it was so hard to like use the site.
Yeah, now it's much better.
It is quite nice.
If you guys
need
pieces, bricklink.com. That is not a sponsorship. It's just a recommendation.
Yeah.
That being said, if you do like using BrickLink's service, you should. It's a good place.
Yeah.
Few other places can compete with BrickLink. And then the other
really
thing that was
sound
spoken
like sponsoring
about.
It.
Yeah, it does.
Or it's sponsoring us.
We use it. That's all
both.
It is.
We sponsor
the other
each
thing
other.
That you spoke about last week was Purple's run-in with a LEGO store. Person to work in some capacity. Which is a crazy turn of events, by the way. I couldn't believe it when you mentioned that. It sounds hilarious. Yeah. I don't know.
Yeah, I couldn't believe it when it was, like, actually happening. I was just, like, standing there internally laughing. It was just like, oh my gosh.
Because it's not so much what that revealed so much as it gives credence to that other thing that sounds ludicrous a while back.
It's like if your, like, little sibling came up to you and was like, I was just talking with a unicorn. She says hi. And you're like, that is the stupidest thing I've ever heard. Get out of here.
Then you, like, meet up later, with a unicorn at a bus stop.
You see a unicorn, yeah. And you're like, what is happening?
Except
that is basically the equivalent to what happened to you.
Well, good for you. That's not the point of the story.
why is that what you focused on?
Because it was inaccurate.
No one. I was talking from a perspective in general. I wasn't saying purple.
Well, yeah. Now you know.
So anyway,
thank you, Purple, for ruining the conversation.
You're welcome.
People are flipping out or generally feeling like uncertain about all that stuff. Bionicle's in a weird state of limbo. There's conflicting reports, contradictory statements. Sets came out. Not everybody likes them. There's not much more media to look forward to. People are generally in a state of disarray. And that is the current state of the Bionicle fandom. Now,
is that really the state of the Bionicle fandom, or is that the state of you?
Well, actually, funny you should mention, because I do actually have a couple things to talk about.
I may launch
into a rant, so before I do that, are there any other comments?
Oh, boy. Yep.
Put on your seatbelts, audience.
Don't worry, I know where this is going.
Oh, that means we still have like 5 more seasons before Mesa goes on to this rant here.
Yep.
So, like, but five, before I yep. do that, like, five do we seasons. Have anything, any opinions on the current plight that have advanced from last week, or would it all just be?
Nah, I think that's basically it. We covered most of that stuff last week. Not much has changed since then on fronts. Last week's episode is definitely a good one. If you're interested in Bionicle stuff, if you're checking or tuning into this episode last week, we had a lot of Bionicle discussions.
I would recommend you go watch that episode.
It's going to give you some context for this episode, because a lot of it's going to be branching off from that, but yeah.
I feel like, here's my deal. Apologies if I talk for a while. I need to get this off my chest. It's been a really interesting thing for me, because a bunch of stuff happened at once. By all this negative stuff is spinning or circulating. I'm fumbling my words. It's spinning around in the Bionicle fandom right now. I took an episode off due to personal stuff that I had to take care of, and I got to view it from an outside perspective, which is a rarity. I almost never get to do that. And I also got my set right around the same time. So a lot of stuff Bionicle related is kind of going on with me, and I wouldn't say it's an epiphany that I had, because it's not like it's some revolutionary concept, but I do feel like I've kind of hit a turning point. Because as I was listening to you guys talk about stuff, about how bad things have gotten, there's like very little media to look forward to, people don't know what to expect from the theme, people are worried it's getting canceled all over again, I kind of got flashbacks to the last time this happened. And I realized something, and that is, While we do have the unique position of being in a podcast atmosphere, where we get to share our opinions with people on a widespread audience, all this stuff that I'm worried about, and that I always like to take Lego to task for, or try to, about media and marketing and promotion and storytelling and budget or whatever, I don't have any control over that. I'm not a focus group tester, I'm not a set designer, I'm not a marketing dude, I'm a dude on the internet. So, all these decisions that I get so worried about, they're out of my hands. They've already happened. You know what I mean? Right. We don't know the state of Bionicle right now. And it's already been decided by people in upper management. We just haven't, it hasn't been made clear to us. So, by getting so upset about it, and by spending every week talking about how bad things are, I'm not changing anything from Lego's perspective. The only person who I'm affecting is myself.
Wow.
And my enjoyment.
I didn't realize it, huh?
Yeah, I kind of needed to take a step back, taking a break from the podcast.
This is what LJ's been trying to tell you for like the past 3 weeks now.
His delivery is flawed.
I'm like, Messi, you just finally caught up to the rest of us.
Because here's the thing.
LJ's delivery is flawed in everything. But
here's the thing about it. I do not apologize for being negative about Bionicle. I feel like it's important to not blindly follow something and to, like, call stuff out when it deserves to be. I think that's honestly part of my responsibility of being a podcast member. However, there is a point. There's a line you have to draw somewhere where you gotta just be like, okay, why are you here? To borrow an RVB Red vs. Blue reference. Like, I am a Bionicle fan. Everything I do stems from me being a Bionicle fan. I love the theme beyond anything else. I've been a fan of it for 15 years. It has shaped, in some way, shape, or form, if not the theme itself, the community around it, the podcast, the concept of Bionicle, has shaped a lot of aspects of me as a person. It shaped how I think about stuff, how I talk, how I interact with people, my interests, my skill sets. It's become a big part of my life over the years. I follow it because I love it. And when I look back at this time, I speak a lot about like the kind of legacy G2 is going to have or whatever. Like, in 10 years, are people going to look back on the third episode of Journey to One and be like, wow, this was a great episode for Bionicle? Well, I'm looking at it from this way now. When I look back on this time, 10 years from now, as a Bionicle fan, I don't want to remember this period as the time when I was negative on a podcast and it became my shtick for like a year and it was funny. I want to look back on it as this was a time where something that I love got brought back for a couple years and I was able to actually enjoy it with my friends, which I was never able to prior because I became a part of the fandom right when it ended. I want to enjoy this time, whatever time is left. This is what I've kind of realized. The only thing I have to gain is... I don't have anything to gain. I'm cheating myself, basically, out of the time that there is.
It's okay, Meso. It's okay.
It's really deep.
We love you.
Yeah, it's just like...
Love is a strong word.
Yeah, I was gonna say...
I can tolerate your presence, Meso.
Because it's like, even if everything I say is true, me talking about it endlessly in that fashion isn't going to change anything. It just ruins the enjoyment.
Ends up sounding like a broken record week after week.
Yeah. If I want to make positive change, maybe I should look into not complaining on the internet. Maybe I should look into working at Lego one day if I really want to make some change. I don't know.
Hey, man, it's the dream.
Food for thought.
It is the dream, isn't it?
Yeah.
That's the dream, everybody.
It's like, I want to enjoy whatever's left from Bionicle. I want to enjoy the third book. This newest play of a set. Thought I was going to hate him. I actually really like him. I want to enjoy what's left of Journey to One. I can't promise I'll never make another negative comment again, because if there is stuff that's deserving of being pointed out, of course I'm going to point it out.
But like, it's all about... If there's an opportunity, you're going to take it.
It's all about presentation. It's all about your outlook on things. And I feel like somewhere along the way, I've gotten so disillusioned with stuff that, like, it actually begun to hurt how I enjoy stuff.
Aww.
And I feel like that's kind of been the case for a lot of people going forward. At least the past couple months is, like, everybody's sort of... Especially if you're listening to our podcast, because we're a bunch of freaking negative Nancys over here. But a lot of people have been, like, feeling negative, and the negative atmosphere is kind of built up around everybody and just made it even worse. You know, it's kind of like a cloud or storm clouds of negativity as blocking out the sun. So I think a lot of it's to do with perspective. Like, we really don't know much about what's going on as far as Bionicle's success, whether it's going to be canceled or not.
Bionicle could be doing exemplary, and we wouldn't know. Yeah. It could be...
All we're doing is speculating, and the speculation has caused this sort of negative atmosphere that we're not even sure of is really deserving or not, so...
Mm-hmm. No. And it's also completely pointless to talk about. That's really what made me have this realization. It's like, nothing's going to change. I'm seeing all these forum posts about panicking about whether Bionicle ends or not, and listening to the podcast, you guys spelling things out, how dire things really are, and it's like, talking about this ad nauseum, we're just robbing ourselves of the time that we would otherwise have.
Right.
That's all it is. And I don't want that to happen again. It gave me, like, PTSD flashbacks to, like, years past, because I joined the fandom right when Bionicle G1 ended the first time. I didn't get to see, like you guys did, or some of you out there, the years where people were actually talking about the fandom. No, I got to see people complaining about 2009 and then panicking over the end and then complaining over Hero Factory and then complaining over the story serials getting canceled.
Aw, man, dude, there was no better time than Bionicle Community during, like, 04 to 07. Like, just those years were just fantastic. It was so big. It was like the height of its popularity. There's so many people on BZ Power. Just like, I remember you would get on, just like, there'd be a new record every day. People would always check how many members were on at a single time.
Wow.
Yeah. Because
I was like six years old during that time. That's really weird to think about. Like, you guys were all part of internet communities, and I was like in second grade.
Yeah.
I didn't become part of like fan art and comics and all that stuff.
Yeah, comics and fan art, the whole sub community that happened, and the culture that happened. It was just a fun time to be a Bionicle fan. I wish I could say G2 is at that point, but I guess it's slowly getting there. I've seen sort of like mirror images on our boards of like what I used to experience back on BZ Power. So like it's slowly getting there. I just feel like if Bionicle lasted for a couple more years, it was able to really promote itself and branch out a bit more, get more people into it, and then we would see a boom.
Yeah. That's all I think it is. I think like people that Bionicle has a legacy to it that goes beyond just the toys you buy in the store. You know, it has this feeling, it has a sense of community, there's a sense of complexity to it, and I don't mean complex lore. I mean, there's a lot of stuff involved with it as a franchise, and people were disillusioned and disappointed when they found a lot of that stuff not present in G2. But, like, it's still the Bionicle we know and love. It's just taking a different shape for a new generation. Whether that's a good or a bad thing, that's your preference, but why not just enjoy the ride and see where it goes?
There's no dragons. Yeah, exactly. 0 out of 10.
Wow. That's the best type of mentality I've had, bro.
What's your contribution there?
Still Bionicle.
Thanks for showing up,
Purple. For us anymore.
Exactly. And it may not necessarily be, like, the best decision Lego could be doing? Who really knows? Lego probably.
Yeah, Lego knows.
Only Lego knows. Only they have the ability to make changes and make things. And of course, we should give feedback when we can. But, like, there's a limit. Like, they're going to have to sort out all this white noise. And, like, they try to go on a fan forum to get some feedback from people, and all they see are, like, people complaining about sales and second-guessing, like, decisions by Lego stores and trying to, like, read into random posts from people saying that the Australian version of Walmart, they saw a Lego supplier saying they're no longer stocking Bionicle and, like, it's going to end after this year. What good does that do anybody?
Right.
It doesn't do any good.
I'm kind of wondering, so like last week I brought up the point, like, do you guys think that the reason Bionicle isn't succeeding is because the newer generation's more into technology and not toys? I just had another thought, like, so what if right now, because Bionicle is only a year or year and a half old, basically, it just came out, what if the fans that are, you know, fans of Bionicle right now are still, they're still really, really young kids, what if they just don't have online personalities yet or accounts? Because, like, when I think about Bionicle G1 and the fan sites that happened then, it was all AFOLs. BZ Power from, like, 01 to 04 was just nothing but AFOLs who were fans of System, and it wasn't really that big.
And if it wasn't like, them, boom, it was, like, a bunch of preteens or barely turning 13 or whatever.
But, like, the boom really happened around 04 to 07, those years where the kids of 01 kind of grew into it and were able to access the internet.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think that's kind of how it is now? Do we have a bunch of fans that just aren't able to communicate that yet?
Honestly, probably.
That sounds as possible, yeah.
I think it is. I don't know if it is the reason, but it certainly sounds plausible enough. Because people have, like, pointed out time and time again, LEGO's main approach this go-around to promoting Bionicle has been, like, they have a Facebook page and they have a website. And that's it.
Yeah.
And I'm not a kid anymore. I'm 18 years old. I don't know how... I don't know how younger kids really are with social media nowadays. I know they're invested in it, but I don't know if Bionicle's target audience is really going to react the same way.
It depends, because like with Ninjago, there's lots of kids on the internet who are like 10 or like 9 to 15. Like, that's the majority of the fandom. But they're all usually like conglomerated on like Instagram and Twitter and stuff like that. They're not really on other sites.
That's what I was thinking. It's like, there's a lot of kids that have access to the internet and access to technology, but their actual use of that technology is limited because parents nowadays are parents that kind of grew up with the internet now, so they kind of know how it works and they know how to regulate it better than our parents did. So yeah. I'm thinking maybe their access, while they do have more access to it, their ability to use it is lessened. So maybe certainly there are possible. Kids that are only allowed to have accounts on Instagram and not on the TTP message boards, you know?
Where, yeah. Like, when I was a kid, I was only allowed to have a Neopets account until I was, like, 14 right. when I made a DeviantArt. Yeah.
That's what I'm thinking. I'm thinking, like, maybe there are kids out there who are fans who do have a voice that just aren't able to show it.
I remember my mom used to be super sketchy about me going on BZ Power. She's like, what is this?
Yeah.
Who told you about this website? Who's messaging you on here?
Kai's not here to say this himself, but I remember he told us about this, how like he had to convince his parents to let him join BZ Power, and the first time they finally conceded and let him join, there was an advertisement for like a suntan lotion or something, and it had like a lady in a bikini at the top of the website, and they blocked access from BZ Power because of it.
Oh my gosh. Yeah,
it's pretty hilarious. It's a great story.
Yeah.
I would definitely buy into that as a possible thing. Because when people have commented they don't see a strong fandom for G2, it's probably because it may not exist in the traditional way.
Yeah, I mean, it's only a year and a half old.
The people on message boards...
fandom is not old enough.
The people on message boards may be the older crew. And I'm not saying we don't have kids on our boards, but like I know like Eurobricks, for instance, TTP message boards, BZ Power, a lot of them are the G1 people who are kind of jaded towards the world. They have come along the...
And then that's important. Then the important distinction is that Eurobricks is 18 up. Like, that is an adult-only website, exactly. So that it's supposed to weed out that. And our website, for instance, is only 13 years old and older, so that's not even the target audience of the line.
No way. Yeah. And that's the problem with judging a theme's performance based off of internet comments, and it's why you can never really take that seriously.
So, yeah, we really don't know.
There's a lot
of
factors we don't know, and most of it is just how kids... today would receive it.
Yeah,
it goes back to that whole thing where it's like it's not our toy, it's their toy.
Exactly. Yeah.
That we just happen to like as well.
You were making that point last week. You were talking about your friend who you were having a discussion with about why Bionicle isn't doing well.
Yeah.
And there was a lot of the stuff he said, like, I don't agree with at all, like talking about the aesthetic style or whatever. I think we're all on the same page about that. The only thing that struck a chord with me was, like, talking about the vehicles, the lack of complex sets. And I don't think that's why Bionicle's not doing well. I think making sets that are more expensive isn't necessarily going to exponentially increase a theme's sales, but it is something I did realize. A lot of the sets nowadays, they are different price points, but they are basically the same kind of experience. Older G1 Bionicle had multiple different brackets. I kind of looked at it as... early builders, kind of younger people, then intermediate builders, and then advanced builders. And as you go up the brackets, you have different levels of the building process. Technic vehicles, little Matoran, Toa that kind of melded functions with posability, all this crazy stuff. I think that was the intention. Nowadays, you have different price points, but the sets are basically the same. I can get Tarak.
Yeah, they're all built like the same way, basically.
I can get Tarak, Tahu, or Umarak, the Destroyer. And they're different sizes, but I can basically get the same kind of set, just in three different sizes. A dude
well,
who can pose.
Well, Tarak and Umarak, the
joints.
Destroyer, are a bit different if you're talking, like, literally, but...
I am kind of talking literally. Of course, one is more complex than the other. I'm not saying that they're the same set, but I'm saying that if I tried to compare this to G1, let me just take random example, 03. I'll take Jala... the 2003 Matoran, then I'll take, I don't know, a Rakshi, and then Takanuba and Usunui.
Or
Puku. Yes. A set such as that, three drastically different styles. One is a small polybag-sized guy with little to him but some posability. The other is a figure who combines articulation with a function, much like figures nowadays. The other is like a vehicle creature set with like a small little rider. Nowadays, all we have with the integration of functions into everything, it has made things more complex, but it has also made things more standardized in a sense.
It's funny because I think another good comparison would be 08, where you have the Abtorn, who are literally like five parts. you just snap them together, then it's simple. Then you got the Toa, who are a little bit more complex. They have more parts. They have a little bit of technic. And then you get the big freaking vehicles and the bigger characters where it's like 90% technic and then a little bit of the smaller stuff. And it's like, man, yeah, no, I know what you mean when it comes
and
to
this
that.
And this is how LEGO follows. This is their system that they have in place. It's like there's the impulse buys. Like for system, it's a little $10 set that people try to they try to sell people that have like a couple minifigures or whatever. Then you kind of move gradually up the scale. Things get more and more complex. And then for the people that want them, they have like the giant $100 playsets or the big Technic vehicles. They have like crazy contraptions.
So you're saying that New Bionicle has basically kind of dropped that in favor of appealing to kids a little bit more?
Kind of. Yeah, but it's weird. It's a double-edged sword. I can't say that's what they've done because all the sets have been made more complex. They've raised the ceiling. Like, comparing Aftorn to a creature, it's no contest. You know what I mean? They have aged up the builds, but they have also taken out the variety. And I don't know what this really means. I don't think this is why Bionic... What in the world? That is the loudest car.
What car? What are you talking about?
That was the loudest one I've ever heard.
I don't think it could be taken the other way too, where it's like the variety and all these different levels of complexity would probably be better because then it would appeal to different audiences as well. Like you're gonna see older kids probably being a lot more invested with the like Axelara or something.
Yeah. Because it's just a weird phenomenon. I don't think this is the reason. I think there's far too much else at play here to say this is the reason. They don't make vehicles, so this is why Bionicle's failing. But it is a trend I noticed. For the last 5 years, the most expensive construction set that has been released is $35. The one before that was all the way back in 2010 when they released the Hero Factory Dropship, which was the last non-motorcycle vehicle we ever received, which retailed for $50, I believe. Ever since then, we have not seen one above 35, and that's including licensing fees, like the Grievous.
Is it the 35 Grievous?
Yes. But there's also the 35 Queen Beast for HF and whatnot. But we used to see stuff that would go up into the range of $100 or so. And I'm not sure if that is simply because they stopped making that because it doesn't sell, which would instantly disprove all of this, or if it was because of some sort of market research saying that, I don't know, maybe construction just isn't worth investing that much into.
Yeah. Either way, I personally, I doubt that it's the actual design of the sets or like the style or whatever that's kind of making Bionicles decline, if there is, because...
Oh, definitely.
That's always going to be subjective, and something had to have worked in the first place for LEGO to pump them out. Like, I remember you were telling me about all the play tests that they have and, like, groups of kids and that the CCBS worked out with them, and that's why they've been using it.
That's why they did it. They wouldn't just do it to do it. They did market research.
So it's like, why do Bionicle and then try to fix what isn't broken? You know, it's like, it's been working. It's been received well. The system's fine. The style is doing okay, objectively.
For every person that hates CCBS and wants, like, pistons back or whatever, there's a person in LEGO's team or focus group that advocated for doing it in the first place.
Yeah, exactly.
That's kind of how I look at it. There's cause and effect here. You can't say CCBS is unanimously people hate it, and that's why it's failing, because there are people that like it because it got made in the first place.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, additionally,
And additionally, conversely, you cannot say that LEGO hates the old Bionicle aesthetic, because 2016, they've done basically everything in their power to bring back, like, detail.
Almost too much.
Almost too much for some people, yes.
Yeah.
Although, looking at the wave of 2016, I really like those 2016 sets.
Yeah, I really like 2016. I think 2016 is better than 2015 IMO.
I agree.
Yeah.
I can't look at the Masters the same now that I've seen, like, the Igniters.
Yeah. Most of my Masters are just scrapped for parts, to be honest.
I'm surprised by how much I like the Beasts. They're really cool.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they're pretty good.
The
like
jaw
them,
is terrible, and it's like one of the worst things that.
Yeah, the jaw
done.
Is really disappointing.
But, like, the sets themselves, I can't say I like Quake Beast because I did modify him a little bit, but like he's not that bad.
Quest Beast isn't like horrible.
Yeah, that's awesome. So
yeah, I think they definitely leave a better impression than the Skull Villains.
Oh
for sure.
I'm glad that is a thing. Skull Villains, I think, looked a bit more cohesive as a unit, but they were way too blah. There was no great.
To be honest, they were kind of boring.
They're very
boring. They're all like silver with like these transparent rib cages.
Please. The beasts pop. Okay. They have such color to them. Put them under a light, they shine.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then with the Skull Villains, it's like flashback to 2008, where everything was like silver, gray, and then a little bit of a color here and there.
Yeah, I definitely like more colorful sets. They catch my eye a whole lot more than like just plain silver with highlights.
That was something I argued in favor of the newer sets too. It's like some of the older sets they kind of lacked color, and they don't. I would say that they probably didn't look as appealing. Because we've got these new, like with the Masters, for instance, they're all in these very different, bright, vivid colors, and they add a bit of character to each set and whatnot. And then the older sets, they're all like clones of each other, and all these, well, not all, but what comes to mind is like the Toa Metru, the Toa Hordika. They're all like kind of the same thing, same set, different dark, gritty color.
And that's how Bionicle always was. Yeah, it's not just the Metru or the Hordika. The colors may have changed, but Bionicle always did clone sets.
Yeah.
Which is why it baffles me sometimes. People are like, okay, yes. Are the Bo-Rock more iconic and like cooler than a lot of stuff that comes out nowadays? Subjectively, yeah, I really like the Bo-Rock. They're an awesome idea. Bo-Rock are great, but like, looking back on the Bo-Rock, they released like 12 of them. They're all the same. Like
the entire wave was a recolor of one set, and then they released two waves
of the same set.
I got every single one.
You can hate a set like Quake Beast, and you can be justified in doing so because he's not perfect. But I can look at him and I'd be like, they may have fallen flat on their face, but they tried. With a set like this, they did not get lazy.
At least there's a different set.
At least he's unique. You can't argue that he isn't unique.
Every set in the Summer Wave is unique in some way. They all have a different function. Every set in the Skull Villains, even though they were less successful at doing it. Every set tried to do something different. They tried to have a different gimmick to it. And that is a noticeable positive trend that G2 has had. And I don't know if it'll pay off in the long run. I hope it will. If G2 leaves no other legacy, it'll be that they made some really good sets out of it. So, I guess...
That'll definitely be G2's legacy.
As a toy company, that's a good thing.
Yeah. G2 has just had the best toys, IMO, out of Bionicle. G1 was good, but, like, I don't know. There's a lot of...
There were a lot of mistakes there, too. G1 wasn't perfect.
Yeah.
Like, so,
a lot of people sell their nostalgia glasses on for that, though.
Yeah, I do miss, like, the bigger sets, like... the bigger ones, but like I do still really like the sets nowdays.
I was hoping that we'd get like an Exo Toa 2.0 for the new sets, but you know,
likewise, because it must be said, like you look at Umarak and he's like, Umarak is cool. I quite like him. However, this is what Bionicle's flagship set is nowadays. But like 7 years ago, it would have been the Axelara T9 or the Scorpio. But it's like, you can't fault the set for that. That's the changing tides. We don't know the logic behind taking away those giant vehicles. And we probably never will, because I doubt LEGO is going to come out and never tell us why they did that.
Yeah, but we also don't know how it's going to build in the future either, because so far, the year prior has had one flagship, and then the next year has had a bigger flagship. So we might get a bigger flagship Titan. Next year.
Makuta Titan would be great.
Also, yeah, maybe Umarak isn't this year's flagship set, and we still don't know about that.
I don't know.
We don't know. There might be another
post-summer set. I really hope not.
I don't mind a post-summer set. I think that as long as that doesn't mark the cancellation of Bionicle, and we're still going to get more years.
Yeah,
I think a post-summer set would be a great idea.
The rumors
I think it's a
go
great
hand
addition.
In hand. Mm-hmm. If there is a post-summer set, it's going to be the cancellation. That's what I don't want. It's like, it was bad enough when we were like only getting 3 years. I want to like have another year or so.
I love the idea of a transitional set that kind of comes out in between waves, because there are so many times where we're caught in like the end of summer, just clinging on to hope and news of some kind of sneak peek at what we're going to get next year.
Especially with leak season, this will be our first year where we're not reporting on the actual leak season. Like, with the beasts or whatever, that was a short time. It was like a 1 month wait. But now this year, if there are more sets, we're going to have to wait like 4 months with like no news.
That's what I'm saying. It's like that 4 month period of just nothing. It would be great to release a single set sometime in between there. I think that'd be a great way to kind of tide us over until the real wave comes out.
Well, it'd be great for Bionicle, but like stuff could still happen with like Ninjago and System and all that.
Of course. And that's why check out the Brick Feed podcast.
Yeah, who cares?
We're not on the Brick Feed podcast.
We don't care about those things here.
Yeah, but for Bionicle, like that'd be a great thing to keep us going.
Agreed. As it stands, the roadmap that we know we're getting, at the time of this recording, in like a little over 2 weeks, we're getting the final chapter book. Probably by the time this comes out on YouTube, it'll be significantly closer to that. So that will be cool, and then Journey to One in July. And then after that, the slate is clean. We do not know. It could end, or they could announce, alright, well, we got this in the pipeline, this is coming at such and such a time. Nobody can really know, and there's no sense in speculating, because nobody will know, for a good while.
So. Well, unless you work at LEGO, then you probably already know.
Yeah, that's true. Moral of the story, just we've said it time and time again, it's nothing new, but just buy the sets if you want to support the theme. Drum up some positivity. Tell people, spread the word, be like, you know, I understand your concerns, your complaints, and you're nervous about the future, but just try to take a step back and enjoy stuff. I greatly recommend it after I had my, like, epiphany. It was, like, it was great.
You know, another thing we never really consider whenever we're talking about Bionicle's performance is, like, we always see, like, these, like, the shelves with, like, Discount Golly up there where she's, like, on clearance for, like, a bunch of bucks. And some super, reports. Super cheap.
A friend of mine went to a Walmart and found $2 protectors the other day.
Oh, yeah, wow. That makes sense. I mean, but we never really consider the fact that, like, they're for kids, right? Like, we are used to just going to the store and buying the entire wave like, right there. Mm-hmm.
Some kids don't do that. Some kids are lucky to get
all kids, some kids can't afford to.
No kids do that. None of the target audience, unless they're rich, will go into a store and buy the entire wave.
Most kids will probably be lucky to get one for, like, their birthday, and it'll be a protector.
Exactly. That's what I'm thinking is, like, well, I mean, Golly is on clearance because she's just not popular compared to, like, Tahu, for example, who is not on clearance, at least not in most places.
Yeah.
Because whenever kids want to go to the store and get their one Bionicle set, they're going for Tahu because he's the red guy, he's the cool guy, you know?
Yeah, like, Tahu's overrated.
It makes sense.
Tahu's overrated.
Yeah, kids are awesome. More likely to just get the ones that they like right on the spot, like, oh, I think this one's cool, rather than be like,
right.
Oh, I'm a collector. Yes, I gotta get them all.
Skull Scorpio warmed the shelves for months.
That does explain it. It's not so much that Bionicle as a line is failing, but I think it's just that, like, kids just have their preference for sets. Mm-hmm. Some sets do really well. As the person that Purple Talk to said, some sets do really well, and others don't. Others just kind of warm the shelves. And others sell out. So it's like, I think that's an important distinction that we often ignore because we're adults now and we can buy whatever we want.
Yeah, that's very true.
Because, like, I remember back in the day, like, 09, we would always pick and choose. Like, I remember in 09 or 08, I picked, I was like, Krika is going to be, like, the one set I get because he looks awesome and I hate everything else.
Yep. I was kind of the same way. I got Kurox from the Fantoka and I didn't get any of the other Fantoka. And I regret that to this day because they were kind of cool in hindsight.
I bought like 90%
of them. Yeah, like, I'm happy about that.
Thanks. I didn't start becoming like a pure collector, I guess, until maybe 2007. Because I remember that specifically because that was the year where I was like, man, all the Baraki are so cool. I want to get them all.
Yeah.
And then I was like, why should I stop there? And so I kept going. Of course, it dropped off during the summer because I lost, like, all my interest in Bionicle as soon as Transformers came out. But it got revitalized a little bit with 2008. I started trying to collect all the sets I could.
Nothing beats the Ignition Trilogy hype. And that is something that G2 is kind of lacking, but it's a subjective thing. It's like marketing and stuff, that feeling, the cool factor. The sets are cool, but the advertising isn't as cool as I feel like it could be. And I don't mean try-hard angsty, I just mean, like, how is this communicated to kids? Well, they have one commercial that airs on TV, and it's like, the evil hunter has stolen the golden mask!
Do we know they only have one commercial, though?
Yeah, we do. That's all that's come out. The Beasts don't even have a commercial.
Rip.
Well.
Not yet, at least.
To be fair, they're also not in stores most places. So.
2015 had multiple commercials. 2015 had the, there was an ad for the animations, which was basically just the paraphrased, find your golden mask, defeat evil, thing. And then we had, two set commercials. So far this year, we just have the one commercial.
We also don't know what the current trends are for, like, other toy lines, though, either. Because none of us are kids. Yeah. None of us watch children's channels anymore.
Yeah,
We don't know how they advertise toys, because toy marketing changes all the time. But, like, if you go back and watch, like, 90s toy commercials, it's, like, the most ridiculous thing ever.
Well, my brother watches TV, and he's a kid. And whenever there's a Bionicle commercial, he's like, hey, come here, look, it's Bionicle. So, it's on occasionally. But not.
Yeah,
like,
well, what I mean, like, in comparison to other commercials, though, you're not keeping track of what other toy companies are doing to advertise their toys, are you?
Not really. It's just general commercials.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Because, like, right now, we're like, basing a lot of our conversation on Lego's marketing and how successful it is, but we don't really know what the market's actually like right now to know whether their marketing is doing good or not. We don't know what the competition is like. We have a very closed way of looking at.
I would also be
thing.
Willing to bet that the thing about, like, people doing other stuff nowadays, like video games and electronics and just consuming media, is more popular than playing with action figures. I think there's a lot of merit to that because Lego has boomed. Lego is more popular than it's ever been, but the construction market is very different. You know what I mean? It's a different audience entirely. And I'm not sure.
It's clear that action figures and dolls are definitely dying as a toy form because, like, I mean, Barbie used to be the biggest franchise in the world, and now I'm pretty sure, didn't they get surpassed by Lego not too long ago, like a year ago?
I believe so.
Yeah, so they're slowly losing their market share. I know they're trying to make a bunch of changes to kind of get more people to buy their sets, their toys.
And I mean, Ankier over on Eurobricks made a post supporting this. He was like, I'm going to quote him here. He said, something I got curious about and looked into today is the decline of construction, an isolated phenomenon. In the context of Lego, it surely seems to be, with the Lego themes rising higher and higher in popularity, but what about in the context of action figures? And he linked an article saying that action figure sales have been steadily declining since at least 2007. And I will link it in the description from toydirectory.com. And he mentions that the reason construction themes came about in the first place was in response to an explosion in the popularity of action figures in the late 90s. And nowadays, as they may not be as popular as they once were, obviously there would be less money dedicated to them. We've seen a number of sets we get year per year basically be cut in half, and marketing and such thereof. That does not necessarily mean that Bionicles is awful and Lego has no faith in it. They are simply making a smart business decision based upon the appeal and broad reach of their product ranges. Why would you sink time into this thing if it is not going to generate as big of a return as this thing? Both story-driven themes, Ninjago, Bionicle, which one has a higher chance of blowing up? You tell me.
Especially when you see that, like, brick-based building toys are what's booming right now. Because everybody else is trying to replicate the Lego mold. Everybody's doing their Kinects and their Mega Blocks and whatever else. What are the other company that, like, can transform or whatever? Forgot what it's called.
Transformers.
Anyway, everybody. The point still stands. No, not Transformers. The point still. No, it's like a little brick that can, like, transform into a minifigure.
Neo Shifters.
No, not Neo Shifters. It's new. It's still a current thing. Neo Shifters ended. That hasn't been relevant for like 6 years. Anyway, no. The point still stands. It's like everybody's trying to replicate that building toy now because that's what's booming. That's what's successful.
Mm-hmm.
So, system is the way of the future. Whereas action figures in general just aren't that popular anymore. I haven't heard anything coming out of G.I. Joe. I haven't heard anything coming out of Barbie. It even seems like Transformers is kind of starting to decline a little bit, too.
Oh, yeah, as a Transformers collector, I can say some of the newer stuff is kind of lacking. I haven't heard anything too great about them. And the stores don't really stock them all that much, either.
I've noticed that recently. It's like, going through, like, my Walmarts and stuff, I haven't... The Transformers aisle back in, like, 07 when the movie came out was, like, it had, like, an entire row dedicated to Transformers.
And now it's like, yeah, a corner. Dude, there was so much.
Yeah, now it's just, like, a little corner, like, kind of hidden off the toy aisle, so... I don't know. I think that's definitely a trend that might contribute to why we assume that Bionicle is doing poorly, but really... Maybe it's not. Maybe that's just the way it's going as far as mm-hmm. toy
Maybe
marketing
is concerned.
Maybe this is
just a whole new thing going on that we're just not used to.
Yeah, there's just so much to it that
things,
we just don't know.
Don't work the
Bionicle
way they do
has the misfortune because like Bionicle used to be LEGO's premier story-driven theme. And now it is not that anymore. Now it is Ninjago takes that title, and Bionicle is unlucky to be in this subset of construction. Instead of system, that will actually.
This would make a great autopsy. I should do some more research into this and see like what I can
do.
Come
it,
up
do
with.
It.
That
That'd
would
be great.
It would certainly help because like we also had a discussion the other day on the Brickfeed podcast cross promotion of epic proportions about whether Bionicle
yeah,
would have been
right.
better as a system
as
theme.
A system theme. This yeah. works. They both go hand in hand. Really great. Great cross promotion there, Mister.
Yep.
Wow.
You can talk about if you want to hear that the side of that and how Bionicle could have benefited. Go check out that podcast. And by the way, if you haven't been watching Brickfeed. You totally should. It's been a breath of fresh air. I love it.
Yeah,
because so
I'm on it. I bring on all the good discussion.
You've only been on like one episode.
I was on two.
Yeah, well, I've
no,
been on most.
Really good. It's a great show.
But yeah.
Glad we had that outlet for General LEGO.
Moral of the story. To close. There's all this stuff swirling around in the fandom. All these rumors. All this stuff. I wouldn't... If I could give one recommendation speaking directly to the audience, do not let it ruin your enjoyment of Bionicle, because if you're active in the community, it's because you like Bionicle to some degree. If you're vocal about it, it's because you want it to do well and you want it to succeed. And I'm not saying you should never call out something and never talk about anything negative, because that's how things change. People express feedback towards things they view as bad. And the change gets made because of it. But don't let it ruin the experience, because Bionicle could end tomorrow. It seriously could. Or it could end in 3 years. Or it could end in 5 years. LEGO could stop making construction entirely tomorrow. They could just cut it completely because it doesn't make money. And then what are you going to be left with? You're going to be left with your memories. The theme goes away. Your experiences don't go away. Unless you're... post on BZPower.com or upload to Brickshelf or ModHost, in which case they will go away eventually through data failure. But, you know, I want to enjoy this time while it's still here, and I would recommend all of you do the same. Just try to see where things go.
Man.
And
that's
be a positive influence. Yeah.
You've been
do
very
what you
deep
can
this
for
episode, Meso.
Well, I had like a moment last week is like whenever I start to get burnt out, I'm just gonna like miss a TTV episode. It puts things into perspective.
Nice.
It's like a shock to my system, dude. It's like I never miss episodes. It's like, what is life? I had like a moment of self-discovery, but that's pretty much all. Nobody knows anything. We're just gonna have to wait and see.
Cool.
Alright. And that basically wraps up this episode, I think.
We'll
really
do
quickly, I
do
want to go ahead and I do want to go ahead and talk about Vessel real quick. If you watched the beginning advertisement, you already know Vessel's a thing. Vessel.com/the TTV channel is where you can access all of our content, every video we make a week in advance for only $3.99 or $19.99 a year. $3.99 a month. You also get some cool exclusives, like our Let's Plays that we do that doesn't really fit the mold with the rest of our content, so we don't put it on our YouTube channel. Little extra thing, like our game dev playthrough and our Undertale playthrough. We're planning on doing a couple more things coming up soon in the future,
well,
so that
we
people
are.
Will look out for.
Oh, yeah, you know it.
We have many ideas, just how many of them will actually translate into
there's
the
one that know. Will definitely translate, so we will do that for sure, but we will see when that actually does come out.
I want to see an Overwatch video, guy.
Nah.
I want to do an Overwatch game night. Let's do it.
Stop interrupting my plug. You're dragging it out.
Yeah.
Yeah. So vessel.com/TDB channel. Also, if you don't feel like paying any money, don't have any money to spend, and you don't want to do that, that's totally cool as well. Vessel is also free. You can access all of our content when it's released. The same time it's going to be released on YouTube, same time it goes up. They both go up at the same time for both platforms, YouTube and Vessel. So you can watch all the content on Vessel for free without paying a dime, not inserting any credit card information, not making an account. Totally fine. And you still help out the show more than you would on YouTube. So if you want to help us out, help us keep making videos like this one, head over to vessel.com/TDB channel.
Ja.
Woohoo.
Wow. Great. Purple, you want to say something to advertise game dev?
What
happened in the last episode?
Oh, game yeah. Dev. If you ever wanted to, like, Vessel. If you ever want to, like, it. See my face, I'm on the latest Game Dev episode, part 8.
Yeah.
You should, like...
The Game Dev has returned as we attempt to save our company from Vince treacherous.
Yeah, Game Dev is a webcam show. We don't usually do webcam shows, but that is a thing on Vessel that you can check out if you want.
Yeah.
It's a pretty nifty bonus to that Let's Play. So, that's pretty much all. Next week, it feels like this was a good episode to have before the 200th episode, because it's like... Very cumulative, reminiscing about Bionicle and talking about bigger picture. Next week it'll probably be, unless there's crazy news, it'll probably be a 200 celebration of sorts, by a retrospective kind of thing on us. So
we're ending things on a more positive note than we started with.
Yeah, it's good. I don't want to come into this momentous occasion and be like so negative about it. I want to enjoy this time.
Yeah,
it could all end tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how long this is going to last.
Yeah, that's usually how I look at things. Like, I enjoy it, and if I absolutely have to complain, I might, but, like, for the most part, I try to keep it positive.
Somebody could die at any point. TDB could end at any point. I don't know how long this is all going to go on. I want to enjoy it. I don't want to have regrets years later about, like, how it did nothing but bad memories. So, that's pretty much all. Thank you very much for listening to episode 199 of the TDB Podcast. Share your thoughts about the current state of things in the comments section below or on the TTV message boards at board.ttvchannel.com. And stay tuned next week for the 200th episode. Whatever we do, I don't want to call it an extravaganza because it may not be anything special.
But it's probably going to be the most boring episode ever.
Maybe some people will actually show up for it. How about that? What a concept that would be.
That'd be crazy.
So, thanks for watching. I'll see you all next time. I'm Messinac.
I'm Vardaran.
I'm Venom.
And I'm Purple Dragon.
Farewell, everybody.
Bye, guys.
Bye.
Goodbye!